you know, we get lots of doctors, accountants, pharmacists, but whether we have those people within our sports sectors, I think there's a big gap there, basically.
I think we're already starting to see some very talented Asian professionals, and I think last count there's seven. Hopefully there's going to be five or six more from this programme, and if it's replicated across the country, then who knows?
People are more aware of their religious belief, and people want to have that.
It's important that the kid, whoever it is, has some sort of support.
Football's missing a trick up to a point by not looking to invest enough in the development of Asian youngsters.
Friends and lovers can come and go, and everyone's got their tales of woe. But there's one thing that you all should know. Only football can truly break your heart.
Growing up, football was never huge in my household. However, that's not the case in many British Asian households. Over the last 20 years, the number of British Asian faces on the terraces has certainly increased. However, this has not been matched by the number of British Asian players on the pitch. The number of professional British Asian players, i.e. those from a Pakistani, Indian or Bangladeshi background, can literally be counted on the fingers of one hand. So what's going on? Are the clubs not making the opportunities available? Or are the communities not stepping up? I headed out to learn more.
The problem you have is that there's a buzz, Asian playing amongst their own community. It's a buzz. It is a buzz. I mean, I feel it myself.
This is Mesbah Ahmed of the London Tigers, a community football organisation.
Although I'm semi-pro multicultural, my semi-pro team probably has only about five Asian players playing in there. But from my part, it's still a buzz if I leave my own community, because that's where we get recognised more. It's a hype, and it comes from the elders. What you need to do, though, is you have to work with these individuals to try and show them the full picture, where they can go, the full potential, where they can achieve it. Sometimes, honestly, it's handheld business. We do that. You know, we do that with kids. Parents will say, sorry, if I don't see a minibus outside my door, I'm not going to let him go. So, because he's a talented player, we do that. That's our space. That's where we come in as a community organisation, which not every club would do that.
And how much resistance do you come up against from parents?
Quite a lot. Quite a lot. Partly because of there's a lot of issues surrounding it. Safety is one of them. Bullying is another one. Oh, I don't feel safe. My kids go in there. So that's the first instance. Then you're talking about issues to do with their supplementary education, homeworks. I mean, I've dealt with where if he doesn't do his homework, he's not going on this trip. Okay, so bring him in. And we've done it. We've brought those two boys in here. We support him with their GCSEs. The parents wrote us a letter, I think, thanking us because in his whole family, nobody was successful in education than him. Supplementary schools, whether it's Bengali language, Arabic language, Urdu language, everybody's got that now. And, you know, people are more aware of their religious belief and people want to have that. So if you ask any Muslim person to say, you know, football or Islamic studies, Islamic studies, always first. And this is something we can't argue with that. How are we going to fight with our religion? You can't. You're cornered. That's like a chess game. You're cornered. That's it. Finished. So what we do is that when is your Arabic classes? Okay, good. What if we do the training session on that day then? And it works.
Yeah, well, the family plays a big role in it. There might be kids that have a single parent family or adopted or whatever, but it's about having a good support team around you and having good role models around you. It could be a teacher. It could be someone in the community. So it's important that the kid, whoever it is, has some sort of support.
I spoke about the issues with professional footballer Zesh Rehman.
Well, it's been, been a hell of a journey. It's been one of ups and downs, with a lot of sacrifices made along the way, both on my part and on the part of my family. And when I say that, I mean, you know, I've got four sisters and they often went without their toys and, you know, all the things that little girls want at the time. So me and my brother could get our football boots and could get travelled around the country to play games, and you know, I've had a lot of great support there from my family. But from my point of view, the sacrifices involved, you know, making sure you eat the right food, have the right training routine, not going out when all your friends are at a stage, you know, where they're going to nightclubs and drinking and meeting girls. And so it's just a case of being dedicated and working hard. So, you know, to get to that point of playing in the Premier League was a mixture of relief and satisfaction that all the hard work had been worth it.
You talked about sacrifice of the time that you had and the money that your parents spent. But what was it really like? Was there racism? Did you feel like an outsider?
Well, yeah, definitely. And times, you know, in my Sunday league days, I'd be the only Asian kid along with my brother. You'd get some racial abuse from some of the other players and some of